All right. I'm so glad you've joined us today, and I want to thank you personally for encouraging other people to join us. That's been an obvious over the last few weeks, and we're believing that this little telecast that we're doing over Facebook and over YouTube, that it will increase and catch up with podcasts. Those of you on podcasts, thanks for joining us. And I thank all of you for being here. And from what I understand, it's easier to find us. And you can tell people to go to our website, mbfmidcities.org. And everything's on the top of the page. And so it'll be easy for them to pick an avenue to watch us and to join us in. So thank you for that. And I wanted to personally also say, it has been such an encouragement for those of you that give. And that's easy to do also. You'll see the Give Now button there at the right top of the page, I think. And it's been such a personal encouragement for people to give. And we having people give from different parts of the country. And it just is really touching. It's like an amen from you, what the Lord's doing in us and through us. And this makes you a part of the team. And I'm so thankful that you're partnering with us, that you're being a part of the team, because we're all about Jesus and we're all about getting the message out. And we're not promoting the messenger, we're promoting the message, and the message is about Jesus. And so we're so excited that you're being a part of that. So thank you for doing that. Amen. And we're going to head right into the message. But first of all, it's on my heart to pray for you. And so why don't you just agree with me right now, and as I'm praying, why don't you say amen to the Lord while I'm praying, because amen means so be it. Amen. It means, Lord, I want this. Lord Jesus, thank you for each one that's tuning in right now, and for those that will tune in. And we just pray, Holy Spirit, come and minister your witness to their heart. And in the name of Jesus, we just pray that the ears of the heart and the eyes of the heart be open. Right now. And we just speak great grace be upon those who are hearing. And we just declare in the name of the Lord with authority that those of you that have ears to hear, that you will hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying today to the body of Christ. And so we just agree together. We thank the Lord for you. And let's enjoy the word together today. I'm so excited about this series. It's called The Badge of Authority. And this is actually a game changer. When people recognize and realize that the Lord has forgiven us of all of our sins, and he's given us the position of righteousness, the gift of righteousness, and that everything we operate in on this earth is not by our own goodness, or our own rightness, but it's by the grace of God. And it's undeserving. It's unmerited. And this is a part of the love expression package that Jesus paid for us. And when he died on the cross, this is called the finished works. And it truly is finished.
Amen.
And so it's very, very important that you understand that he went to the cross because he so loved the world.
Yeah.
God so loved the world before Jesus went to the cross. That's why Jesus came. All right. And so you are very loved. Now, you may not feel loved. You may not recognize his love. But I'm announcing to you a spiritual truth, a greater reality than your emotion.
Amen.
Is that you are loved by the Lord.
Amen.
And he has proved his love for you. And he wants to express his love to you. And so that's why we pray for your heart to be open. And you may hear the Lord knocking on your heart today. And if so, then we ask you to just say yes to him. And you recognize him as Lord. And you confess him as Lord. We repent of sin.
Amen.
But I want to tell you something. Jesus comes and he accepts you and receives you. And it's amazing. It's the most amazing miracle to be born again.
Amen.
It just is. It's the greatest miracle.
Amen.
We see the Lord do a number of other miracles, but always that receiving of forgiveness and that being born into the kingdom of God, that expression is the greatest.
Yes.
And so we're for you on that. Now, one of the things that I have to explain, and you may wonder, well, what does this have to do with spiritual authority? But everything in the kingdom, I mean everything in the kingdom, little, big, whatever it is, whatever topic you can talk about in the kingdom of God, it all operates through the love of Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
It's divine love. And divine love is the fuel that operates in everything in the kingdom. As a matter of fact, if we try to do things on our own for God, without operating in and through and about and saturated and motivated by His love, yeah, it doesn't matter if man applauds or not.
Amen.
It's not even recognized in heaven.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm announcing to you that it's very, very important that we understand that the love of Jesus, we're to be saturated in, and we're to be motivated by the love of Jesus.
Amen.
And you say, well, I thought we were talking about authority. Faith operates by the love of Jesus.
Amen.
We're going to touch on that a little bit today. Authority, your spiritual authority, your badge of authority that He's won for you, it operates off the love of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And according to the Word of God, if you were to give the greatest gift that anyone's ever seen financially, but you weren't doing it because of and saturated in and through the love of Jesus, then it doesn't even count.
Amen.
If you had the most beautiful voice, and you were to sing and all of mankind were to applaud for your singing, and even if you were singing about the Lord, but it wasn't being operated through and about the love of Jesus, it's just noise.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't even count. And so if you were to even sacrifice or express great gifting in some way to the body of Christ or to people, and people were to clap and applaud, but if it wasn't done through the love of Jesus, it does not count. Are you kind of getting the idea of what we're talking about? So faith operates by His love. Authority operates by His love. As a matter of fact, a whole lot of what we even personally receive from the Lord is greatly greater in a way received, because it's not achieved, it's received by focusing on and receiving the love of Jesus.
Amen.
There's no greater just springboard to receive from the Lord than being still and letting the Lord love on you.
Amen.
And when you are receiving the love of Jesus, it's amazing how your eyes clear up. And when you see the Word of God, those things that you've had questions about, it's amazing how things become clear when you're allowing the Lord to love on you. And He wants to love on you, and He loves to love on you. And it's amazing how we see our situations differently. I know we're in a unique situation right now around the world, aren't we? We're in a unique situation, but it's amazing how we're able to see this situation through God's heartbeat when we're allowing the Lord to love on us. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how that even people that tend to be disturbing to us, it's amazing how they look different when we're viewing them through the eyes of the love of Jesus.
Yes.
And I'm just encouraging you in that, it's not, we don't operate by emotions. Mm-hmm. I know that there's even segments of the body of Christ that feel like that you've got to get up to a certain level of emotion, of joy or happiness or whatever, or a certain amount of feel good before faith operates.
Yeah.
That's completely wrong.
Yep.
Faith is not tied to your emotions. As a matter of fact, your emotions can be more of a hindrance than a help.
Mm-hmm.
It's not based on feeling, it's based on faith.
Amen.
And I just will share with you personally some of the greatest miracles. I've been a part of seeing some great miracles take place. But some of the greatest miracles I've ever experienced, there was not one ounce of feeling or one ounce of emotion. There was not one chill bump playing leapfrog on my back when it happened.
Yeah.
It's just faith according to what Jesus said. And as a matter of fact, the operating of faith during that time, a lot of times the emotions were doing the opposite. The emotions were saying you're intimidated or something along that fact. But this message, this series, is a game changer for believers, because most believers that I first deal with, they don't know that they have authority.
Amen.
They don't know that they have the resurrection life and the resurrection power of Jesus in them. They think that He's way up there and we're way down here, and somehow or another we've got to try to earn it, we've got to try to deserve it, or maybe we'll get to the place where we're able to make a deal with God. All of that's wrong.
Amen.
And that may be some religious teaching, but that's not Bible.
Yeah.
And so I'm sharing good news for you. And this is a game changer, because when people recognize and realize that, that God has given them the very fullness of God dwells inside of them. The Spirit of the living Jesus dwells inside of them. And Jesus wants to operate his love to other people in us and through us to other people. And he's given us authority to operate against the powers of darkness and against the things of this world and even our own flesh. Well, that's an important one.
Yeah.
Then I want to tell you, it's exciting when they grasp that, because they start experiencing victory in areas that a lot of times they've struggled in for years and years.
Yeah.
Or a lot of times because of their family heritage or the particular church that they go to, they've been told, well, this is your cross to bear the rest of your life. And a lot of times they don't understand that this is not from God, this is from the enemy. And that when we express the authority that Jesus paid for, we see more victory than ever before.
Amen.
And this is God's heart for you, and this is what he wants. It would be like if I bought you a house, and I would love to buy you a house, but if I bought you a house and said, everything's in here that you need to have a home and have a good life in this home, and you just enjoy it and you use it, it's all paid for. And for me to come back and visit you a few months later or a few days later, and the house is dark and the air con is not on, and you don't have any power in the house, and for me to ask you, well, what's the holdup? And you say, well, what are you talking about? I say, well, there's power in the house. Use the power. And for me to come back later and you still have a dark house and no air con, and, you know, it would just be so wrong. All right. But a lot of times I want to tell you, it's like believers don't know that the power supply is in them.
Amen.
And the power supply is not limited.
Yes.
And that we have authority from Jesus himself to operate like with what he said and with what he did, in order to help people. He's all about loving on people and helping people. And so I'm saying to you that the electricity is there, but we need to flip the switch. And before we flip the switch, we got to understand and recognize that it's in our home. The power is in here.
Yeah.
The authority is in here. And we need to make the decision to flip the switch. And I want to tell you, that may sound too simple, but it's amazing what a game changer it is when people begin to operate under the authority of Jesus, submitting to God, resisting the enemy, and to watch things flee out of their life that they've put up with for years. Wow, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
So Luke 17, 1 through 4, and I'm going to go through this kind of quickly. I took a little long on my intro, but I wanted to get you on board, okay? Everybody on board?
Yeah.
Well, here we go, Luke 17, 1. And Jesus said to his disciples, temptations. And temptations can be explained as snares and traps and to entice us or draw us to sin. So temptations are sure to come. That's what Jesus said. Now, you can't keep temptations from coming.
Right.
We live in, the world, our own human flesh, natural mind, the devil, and people that are being used by the devil.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, you can't keep temptations from coming, but you can keep them from staying.
Yeah.
All right, that's very, very important. Just because a temptation comes doesn't mean it has your name on it and it needs to have an abode here.
Amen.
You need to continually have the eviction notice out, okay, to head on down the road. Don't land here, because temptations come, but they don't have to stay. And all the people said,
amen.
Amen. And so, but Jesus gives a warning here. Woe to him through whom they come. In other words, it's very, very important. Don't let the temptations land, but make sure you're not a participant.
Yeah.
Make sure you're not a part of the powers and works of darkness to bring destruction in other people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's examples I could give there. I really don't have time, but I'm praying you understand that we're not to operate on the powers, the team of destruction.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what we're here for. That's not what Jesus redeemed us for.
Mm-hmm.
So be very careful about that. And there's another warning on that. It would be more profitable for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were hurled into the sea than that he should cause to sin or be a snare to cause any of these little ones or anyone lower than you in rank or influence to sin. And so we understand that's a pretty serious warning.
Amen.
It would be better for you to be dead than to cause other people to go into death. I don't know how more simple a way to put it, but the Bible's real clear about reaping and sowing. And you can sow good to the blessing. You can sow seeds of evil to the curse of people.
Yeah.
Mm. So let's be sure what team we're operating on. Mm-hmm. And I guess I can explain it to you like this, and this will help you, that God, we understand God uses people. The Lord loves to minister to you personally, but he loves to use you to love on other people. God uses people. Well, the enemy does too.
Amen. Amen.
All right. The enemy uses people. And so we have to have some discernment here. And verse 3 says, pay attention. Be alert. All right. Always be on your guard and look out for one another. If your brother sins or misses the mark, solemnly tell him so. And there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it.
Yeah.
Amen.
And they're telling you, solemnly tell them so. Mm-hmm. You don't tell people so based on your high horse and their low horse.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If your brother sins, solemnly tell him so and reprove him. In other words, there's some instruction in that. You just don't tell people they're wrong. You explain to them how they're wrong and how this can influence or affect their life or other people's lives. And if he repents, feel sorry for having sinned, forgive him. In other words, there's a place for restoration there.
Amen.
Repentance is a good word because it means to change your mind.
Right.
It's really not anything more than that. It's not determined on how many gallons you cry.
Yeah.
But it is a description of changing direction or changing your mind. Amen. And so a person that is repentant, that changes their mind, say, oh, I need help, then you know what? You help restore them.
Amen.
And so be alert, be on guard, love one another. See, this is loving one another. You say, well, you know, Papa T, getting on to people? No, no, no. You see, it takes love to confront.
Yeah.
Mm, there's a whole lot I want to say there. I'd love to speak to parents on this. I don't really have time to. But you know, if you love your kids, according to the Bible, you will discipline them.
Yes.
You know, it's okay for them to cry when you discipline them.
Yeah.
It's okay to make them uncomfortable when you discipline them.
Yes.
You're actually training them that there's consequences to wrong choices.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're actually training them to respond to the Lord when the Holy Spirit shows them Christ the right way for them to repent.
Yes.
And so there's a whole lot on that that I'd love to dwell on, but I got to move on. So listen a little bit faster. Here we go. And so love one another enough to exhort one another. Exhort's a beautiful word. It's to encourage, it's to build up, it's to, you know, just cheer for one another. But there's also room in exhortation for teaching, for instruction, and for correction.
Amen.
And according to what, and Jesus said this, you know, love the Lord thy God with all their heart, soul, and your neighbor as yourself. And he was actually quoting from Leviticus. And it describes in Leviticus that the way to love your neighbor is that if your neighbor's wrong, that you'll help them.
Yeah.
That you'll love them enough to confront them and to compel them to do right.
Amen.
And so that's very, very important. And so recognition is a big part of this. You see that there's people that God sends to bless you. There's people that the enemy sends to curse you.
Yeah.
It's important to know the difference.
Amen.
Any of us. And I'm saying to this, to the very mature ones, to the little ones, any of us can be deceived.
Yes.
Any of us can fall into the trap.
Yes.
All right. And Jesus explains one trap here that's very, very important for you to be aware of. And it goes like this. Even if he sins against you seven times in a day and turns to you seven times and says, I repent, I'm sorry, you must, do you see must?
Amen.
You must forgive him because that's the way of love.
Amen.
Now, that's not the human way. We're talking about divine love. Because you know what human love does? Strike three and you're out.
Yeah.
You know, the baseball method. Yeah. Well, thank God that the kingdom method is greater than the baseball method.
Amen.
And the same way that the Lord's forgiven you for 49 million times, we're to forgive someone seven times.
Yeah.
Even in the same day. But I want to tell you, human-wise, this don't work.
Yeah.
But it's the Jesus is saying you must forgive him. Any resentment or any offense has got to be laid down. And one of the ways that we describe forgiveness, and the Bible talks about letting go, means to just open your hand and drop it. That you don't hold on to any of it.
Mm-hmm.
You drop it. You lay it at his feet, at the Lord's feet. And I did a series many years ago on the offense trap, and how that offense can be a trap. And when you refuse to forgive,
right,
yep. Right.
All right, and offenses come, mm-hmm. but I want to tell you, we got to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
We can't keep them from coming, but we can keep them from staying.
Oh, yeah.
Because if they stay, then I want to just announce to you, unforgiveness can darken your perspective.
Yeah.
Unforgiveness does that.
Yep. Amen.
Unforgiveness will turn into bitterness,
yep.
revenge, retaliation,
mm-hmm.
okay, and in a number of different forms. And all of those are an offense that the enemy uses to trap you,
yep.
to darken your yep. eye. And what I mean by darken your eye is that it hardens your heart toward the Lord.
Yeah.
And even though you still may know truth, it affects your eyesight. It affects your perspective.
Yep.
Amen.
And
Amen.
It can darken, okay, your perspective toward people and where you're not seeing things clearly. Do you understand?
Amen.
And so this is why it's very, very important that we practice forgiveness. Because when you practice forgiving, even up to same person, seven times a day, same situation, then what it does, it lightens your heart.
Amen.
When you forgive, light comes and it lightens your heart and it causes you to be more sensitive
yeah.
to the Lord. Not hardened to him, but sensitive to him.
Mm-hmm.
It tenderizes your heart, and it causes you to see more light.
Yeah.
Isn't that what we want?
Yeah.
To see Jesus clearly, to see people clearly, to see what he's doing in our life clearly. And so all this is very, very important. And because we need to walk in divine love. And what I'm saying to you is that unforgiveness, when you keep it and hold on to it, not only does it grow and become like a cancer and poisons everything else in your journey, but when you hold on to unforgiveness, then I just want to say that it quenches the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
see, that's important mm-hmm. to know, because everything we operate in is by his love.
Amen.
And so if you're not forgiving, if you're not walking in love, it can hinder your faith.
Yeah.
Okay? It can cause that tug of war.
Yes.
All right? Between unbelief and faith. And I want to tell you what it can do. It can quench and take away your confidence,
mm-hmm.
the assuredness of operating in spiritual authority, because your own heart will condemn you.
Yeah.
Do you see that?
Yeah.
And so this is why that I'm covering this in the spiritual authority or your badge of authority series, because it's important for us to continue to walk in love. Everything operates by his love.
Amen.
Well, the disciples were hearing Jesus talk about this, and they said, wow, we need some help. And what they suggested, see, they're going to suggest to Jesus what to do. We do that, don't we?
Yeah.
Okay, Luke 17:5-6. The apostles said to the Lord, well, just increase our faith.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we need. We just need bigger faith. So God, give us bigger faith. All right? We need bigger faith. And Jesus answers them, and I want you to understand that in his answering, that he was telling them, it's not the size of your faith.
Mm.
Now, see, humans, religion teaches this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not going to go into that. I want to get to the good stuff. But it's not the size of your faith. It's using the measure of faith that Jesus has given you.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about this in future episodes. In future episodes, we'll talk about how that Jesus has given you a measure of faith.
Amen.
And he gives you a measure of faith. Matter of fact, it's not even your faith. Did you know it's the faith of Jesus?
Amen.
Paul said that he operates by the faith of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so I want to tell you, you have more than enough faith. I may need to say that a few times because religion doesn't tell you that. But you have more than enough faith. You have the very faith of Jesus. You have the measure of faith. And it's more than enough for anything you will face in this journey.
Amen.
Wow, you might need to hear that two or three times. And so just repeat it. I don't have time to say it right now. But Jesus, this is what Jesus answered. If you had faith,
mm-hmm.
even so small, like a grain of mustard seed. Mustard seed's the smallest seed. We gave away mustard seeds to mamas a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And they're so small. They're the smallest of the seed. And he's saying, so what he's saying about this, it's not the size. It's the using of the measure of faith that he's given you. It's not the size of the faith. It's activating and using the faith.
There you go.
Do you see that? I'm telling you, this will be exciting because I want to tell you, the enemy comes to lie and he'll tell you, you just don't have enough faith. You don't have enough faith. And it's based on your performance. No, no, no. This is based on the finished works of Jesus.
Amen.
He has granted you and given you. It's a gift of faith.
Amen.
He's given you more than enough faith. You have faith to operate.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said to them, if you have faith so small, even as grain of mustard seed, you could say, mm-hmm. Now it's important that he says the word say.
Yeah.
It means to speak out loud, to address.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You could say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted into the sea, and it would obey you. Now that's an amazing example that he gives. And I think that he probably used this example because he was standing by a mulberry tree.
Yeah.
I like to picture this, and I encourage you to do the same. And so, but he said this, if you'll just speak and say to this mulberry tree, be taken up and be cast into the sea, that it would.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the mulberry tree is not so impressive on top of the soil, but underneath the soil, it has an amazing root system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm told it has a great big root system, mm-hmm. and it's more underneath the soil than what's on top of the soil. And they knew this. They lived in the land. They knew this. And so for Jesus to say to them, this tree that has this a root system that you can't identify and see, that if you speak the word of authority, you speak the word of direction, you speak my word, the word, to this mulberry tree, it will be taken up out with this whole root system and be thrown into the sea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so we have faith to use our authority. And Jesus has given us authority, and we're to speak the seed of faith. I want you to picture that mustard seed as being the word of faith. And it's a good picture to understand that words are seeds.
Amen. Yes, they are.
And the Bible says that we have the power of life and death in our tongue.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for you to catch that, you have the power of life and death in your tongue. You speak life and you speak death with the same tongue.
Yes,
but you can take your tongue and line it up with what God says about the mulberry tree with the root system that goes deep. Now, you know as well as I do that we have certain things that we may struggle with in our life, in our journey. And sometimes they'll say, well, you know, this just goes with your last name. Your grandmother had this and your great grandmother had this.
Yeah.
And there's things down with roots and you try to cut off the fruit, but the root's still there. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Fruit can show up in different ways, can't it?
Yeah.
But I want to tell you, Jesus is speaking to a root matter that you can use faith to speak to roots that you can't even see, that you can't even identify, but you know that they're there. And by faith, we speak the word to this root system, and the whole outfit will be taken up and cast into the sea. That sounds like victory, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I love that, don't you? I really do. And so we can release our authority, and we can see supernatural results. And so it's not the size of your faith. It's the function of it.
Amen.
It's utilizing it. It's using it. It's applying it. It's putting your faith into action. Faith without works doesn't work. Okay, it's putting it into action. So you plant the seed and you speak it. Speak life to your situation. Speak life. Speak the word of God. And you know, it doesn't say to talk to God about the mulberry tree. Do you notice that?
Yeah.
It doesn't say, God, I beg you, I beg you, I beg you, I beg you to do something about the mulberry tree. He already has through
Amen.
The finished works.
Amen.
He's won the victory for us. And so what the answer is don't talk to God about the mulberry tree. He's already dealt with it, and he's told you, now you do it with my authority and with my word, and by practicing with my faith, you address it.
Right.
And so we speak to the mulberry tree. And that's the way that authority is transformed or transferred, is with our words.
Amen.
That's why it's so important. And the Bible says, Jesus said, it will obey you.
Yep.
Now this is not praying a prayer begging. It's not saying, oh Lord, if it be your will. I know some of the places I go to preach, this is a common reference in pray, Lord, if it be your will. Well, that's why he's given us the word of God.
Right.
Is to see the will of God. And so when Jesus, and they refer to this prayer of Jesus in Gethsemane, but see, when Jesus was praying, Lord, thy will be done, it was not a prayer of direction, it was a prayer of submission.
Yeah.
It's very important to submit to God.
Yes.
Lord, not what my flesh or what my mind or what my emotions are saying, but I choose you over myself. That's a prayer of submission. Okay.
Yes.
It wasn't praying like, Lord, if this is what you want and what you don't, let's find out what he wants. Let's get in the word.
Amen.
And let's find
Amen.
Out what he wants. But
yeah.
One of the ways that we share about this is that Jesus himself here on earth was the perfect expression of Father.
Amen.
Father's will, Father's heart, Father's desire for people. He was the perfect expression of Father. And Jesus said, you speak. Okay. Plant this seed of faith and it'll obey you. And you can say, tree, be gone.
Right.
In Jesus' name. And it's very important. I covered this in the last message, to practice submitting to God. And then you resist the enemy and you put the devil on the run. That's good. That's Bible.
Yeah.
All right. And so Jesus, in the next couple of verses, and I don't have time to read those right now. You can. But in the next couple of verses, he explains that faith is like a servant. Now, they were very familiar with that in that time. We may not be as familiar, but he was expressing that when you tell a servant to do something, you expect it to be done.
Amen.
Now, I can say to you that, well, if you're an employer, this is kind of a picture. When you give your employees direction, you expect it to be done.
Amen.
Or if you're a parent,
Amen.
And you tell your children to do something, you expect it to be done. All right, and so it's important for this to be an understanding. I have servants in my home. One's called dishwasher. And when I tell the dishwasher by punching its button to work, I expect it to work. If it don't, then I'm calling somebody, okay? And, because I ain't going to have that. It's the same way with your clothes washer or your clothes dryer or your transport. I have a transport out there, and I don't understand everything about the gasoline engine. There's a whole lot I don't understand. But I want to tell you what. I have faith to operate. I activate it. I turn the key, and when I turn the key, I expect it to roar.
Amen.
If it don't roar, I ain't having it. Something's got to change. Do you understand?
That's right.
Jesus was explaining that faith is like that. So when you operate faith, when you express faith by speaking what God says about a matter to the mulberry tree or whatever it is, then you have an expectation. We probably need to say that word two or three times. You have an expectation like you would a servant or your dishwasher to operate when you say to operate. You expect it. There's an expectation that it's done.
Amen.
Okay. And so this is like applied faith. If a snake shows up in your journey, in your family, in your body, in your home, in your relationships, a snake shows up. You know what I mean by that? The enemy shows up because he will. He likes to do that, cause disruption, disruption and destruction. But when he does, then you address the snake.
Amen.
You don't beg God to do something about the snake. He already has through Jesus.
Yeah.
We take the victory that he's won for us, and we use our badge of authority to enforce the victory that Jesus has won.
Amen.
And we speak to the snake, be gone.
Yeah,
see,
right.
In Jesus' name, we submit to God. We resist the enemy until he flees. The snakes don't always leave at the first word. And so that word resist, it means to continually battle.
Right.
It means that you don't quit till you win.
That's right. Thanks.
It means the battle's not over till you win.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so we have authority to speak to the junk. Don't settle for defeat.
Yeah.
This is a message I want to give believers.
Amen.
Is that Jesus has won and promised victory for you. Sometimes a battle lasts for years.
Yeah.
I don't understand it all, but I've experienced a lot more victory in my life since I've made this a part of my life. And you got to practice it. You've got to activate it. But don't settle for defeat. Don't settle. I got to say this. Don't settle for partial victory.
Amen.
We have authority to speak to the junk. Don't let unbelief rob you of victory. You already have faith. But unbelief wants to come and wants to make a tug of war with your faith. And that's what's called, some people call it little faith. But what it really is unbelief is weakening your approach with faith. all right, or your allegiance to faith. And so that's what we deal with. I'm going to share a message in a couple of weeks about the devil. He's a defeated, deceiving devil.
Yeah.
And he's defeated. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times believers give him too much credit.
Amen.
Mm, too much credit. Because he is defeated. There's no fear. Because of the I am, he's present. Not only has he given us his badge of authority, given us his word, his name to operate with, but he's also backing it up with his presence, because his presence dwells with us. So Acts 10:38, I want to share this, and this may be as far as I get to go this week, so hang with me on this, Acts 10:38. This is describes, you know, I've told you that the Word of God will show you Father's heart through Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus being the perfect expression of Father's heart and desire, not only for you, your life, but for your family, for your church, and let me say this, for humans.
Yeah.
Because Jesus loves humans, and he wants to help Amen. And reach humans. And so look what happens here. See the heart of God right here. Verse 38, Acts 10:38, for how God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power. Now,
yes.
I'm going to call a time out here and say this. When you receive Christ, you're not a regular human anymore.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
You're a joint heir with Jesus.
Amen.
You're a new creation. And you're not just regular human. Jesus lives and dwells inside of you, and he has sent his Holy Spirit, he said, one just like me, to dwell and abide in you. And so you have the Holy Spirit, you have his anointing, you have his strength, you have his ability and his power.
Amen.
Wow.
Yeah.
We've got to learn how to receive that, don't we? We've got to learn how to get ourselves out of the way and allow the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do
Amen.
In us
yeah.
and through us.
Mm, yes.
That's big.
Amen.
Okay. So here we are. This is what Jesus did. And he operated like we're to operate.
Mm-hmm.
I know he was all God, but he was all man. And he was operating under the anointing and the power and strength
yeah.
and ability of the Holy Spirit like we're to do that.
Yeah.
And he went about doing good. You know what he was doing? He was ministering the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
He was, as an ambassador, he was sharing the heart and the will and the desire of God for humans.
Yeah.
And he went about doing good. Loving on people, helping people.
Yep.
See, that's what love does. In particular, and it's giving a very pinpointed example of how he did this. So catch this, would you? Remember, this is the heart of the Lord. Curing a few.
No,
that's not what it said. Curing those who deserved it.
No,
that's not right either. I want to tell you what he did. This is Bible. Curing all.
Amen.
Now, I'm one that believes. I don't know where you are, but I hope that you will allow the Word of God to be God's Word. And when the Word of God says all, that's God's heart for all.
Amen. Amen.
Mm, we love him, don't we?
Yes.
Curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
For God was with them.
Amen.
Now I want to tell you, God's with you.
Amen.
And part of what we're to do with the love and the life and the freedom that Jesus has given us, you've heard me say it before in this series, but to be a rescue ranger and to take the love of Jesus, the word of Jesus, the authority of Jesus, and go help other humans be free from being harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil.
Amen.
He came to set the captives free. Do you see that?
Yes,
okay, that's exciting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because that means that you and I get to be a part of the kingdom, the active kingdom of God. And so we're to exercise authority over the powers of darkness and minister the life of the kingdom of God, loving people, helping people into freedom. Does that sound like good news?
Amen.
Now, when it talks about people being healed, let me say real clearly, we're not the healers.
Amen. That's right.
Jesus is the healer.
Amen.
Jehovah Rapha, he the healer.
Amen.
He's also the provider.
Amen.
He's the El Shaddai. He's the provider.
Mm-hmm.
you know, he's also our peace.
Yeah.
It's not world peace.
Amen.
He said, I give you my peace. Not the peace of the world, but my peace. He is our peace, and the portrayer of peace dwells in us.
Amen.
So he is our protection. Hey, in this situation, our country, our world's in, we don't have to fear.
Amen.
Jesus is stronger than a virus. I don't care what the name is.
Amen.
His name is above every name.
Yes.
And if you look at Psalm 91, if you look at Psalm 23, you see Jesus is our shepherd and he's our protector. He's our defender. We don't have to fear a virus or anything about the enemy. We don't have to be intimidated. Amen?
Amen.
Because Jesus is our victory. And so he's our protection. He's our deliverance. And he is the center. And it all comes from forgiveness. This is why I say that forgiveness, our salvation, and all of this is a part of our salvation. But the inner wheel of the wheel is our forgiveness in Jesus. That's where we receive our gift of rightness. And he gives us the right to operate in his authority because of the amazing price he paid for us. And there's different spokes that come out from that inner wheel. Okay, and one of them is healing. One of them is deliverance. One of them is provision. One of them is protection. And this is his peace, his love, his comfort, his hope. You see, there's different expressions of his love that comes from the great forgiveness we receive.
Amen.
And so the forgiveness is the main, but that goes along with sozo. That's the word for salvation in the New Testament. And it's descriptive a lot more than just forgiveness, but forgiveness is the main. Let's not ever forget that. And forgiveness is what we celebrate.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
And so there's no condemnation. I want to tell you, whatever you're struggling with today or whatever you're fighting with or whatever load you've been under, there's no condemnation in this. We're sharing with you fresh word, fresh hope, fresh revelation, fresh encouragement to take the authority that God's given us and the power he's given us and just simply by simple childlike faith say yes to his yes.
Amen.
Because all the promises of God are made yes. He put his yes on them.
Amen.
And so when we say yes to his yes, that's agreement. That's submitting to the Lord. And you know what? We practice resisting the enemy. Submit to God, resist the enemy, and put the devil on the run.
That's right.
And so I'm saying that as you practice this, you'll experience a lot more victory than you ever have. And that's part of what Jesus paid for, because not only is it for your victory, but it's for you to exercise his victory, not only in your life, but in the lives of those people you love and know, and even those you don't know.
Amen.
Wow. See, that's causing the kingdom of God to go forth. And Jesus explained, this is why I'm saying there's no condemnation. Jesus explained that someone that is sick, and maybe you've been fighting a sickness for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? There's no condemnation. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, the focus on the kingdom of God is for you to receive help.
Yeah.
Not even why you got sick, but for you to receive help. Jesus compared getting sick as like an animal falling in a ditch.
Mm-hmm.
And the focus was not why the animal got in the ditch to start with, but the focus was to get the animal out of the ditch.
Amen.
And so his heart is to help us, okay? And so I'm saying to you, don't be friends with darkness. Don't be friends with snakes. Kill the snakes.
Amen.
Okay. Kill the snakes. Resist and renounce the snakes. Look, when it comes to the COVID-19, you know what? We have authority over any disease, any sickness, any virus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Now, if you get sick, there's no condemnation to you getting sick. Our focus is to help you get well.
Amen.
And so then you begin to renounce whatever it is that comes against your body. Because Jesus was real clear in John 10:10. He said, the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
And he said, Jesus said, I've come to bring life.
Amen.
And life more abundantly. And so he's the exact opposite of that. This is where we want to focus. This is where we want to go. So whether it's a corn virus or whether it's cancer, you renounce that in the name of Jesus. You tell it to die. Now that sounds strong, doesn't it? But Jesus paid the price for our touch, for our help, for our recovery. And so this is not supposed to be a rare victory. This is supposed to be a supernatural norm.
Amen.
Now that may be too much for you, but I want you to remember what we've covered about the throne room victory mindset. See, it's a mindset, a throne room victory mindset, and that we have spiritual authority, all right, to come against this junk. And he paid the price for us to win. Yes. And the Bible says that he always leads us into triumph.
Amen.
And so this next week, we're going to cover some new ground, and we're going to cover some ground that will explain how that the battle for your victory is between the ears. It's between the ears. It's
yes.
in the mind.
Yes,
the
amen.
First battle is in the mind.
Yes.
Yes,
it's
amen.
Hard for you to see outside victory in your life, other people's lives, when you don't have inside victory.
Amen.
And so the priority with the Lord is not is as much doing something in you as it is doing something for you.
Amen.
And so when you allow the Lord to do something in you, and we renew our old computer here
amen.
To believing and saying what God says, and become convinced that he has given us victory, that we're operating from victory, not to victory. That's big.
Amen.
We'll cover that next week. But how that we can have victory in the mind and that we overcome.
Amen.
All right. I want you to see that. I want you to operate in that. I believe the Lord wants you to operate in that. We're excited about sharing with you. And so I'm just believing right now. Would you just pray with me, Lord Jesus? I want to receive what you're saying to my heart today.
Yes.
And Lord, my heart says yes to you, even though my mind may not understand it completely. I want to say yes to you. Lord Jesus, teach me how to walk in the victory that you paid for.
Yes.
Amen.
I receive and walk in your badge of authority.
Yes.
And the great grace that you've given us.
Yes.
That we are the righteousness of God in Christ, and you have paid the price to make it so.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for everlasting life and abundant life.
Amen.
And all the people said.
Amen.
Well, we love you. Thank you for joining us. Let's pick it up next week right here, and we'll walk in greater victory. God bless.
Amen.